Welcome to Car Free Conversations. I'm Domenico.
And I'm Sumitra.
And this is a podcast where we talk about making the most of St. Pete without the use of a car. And joining us today is Megan. Hi, Megan.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Megan is a Car Free St. Pete committee member, and so we are very happy that she was able to join us to talk about PSTA today.
But before we talk about PSTA, we're going to do a lightning round. So Megan has not seen these questions yet. We're going to be quizzing you today, Megan, on some PSTA trivia questions, many of which I don't even know the answer to. So you get these right. I'll be very impressed. Do you want to do the first question, Sumitra, or shall I?
I can go first. So the first one, Megan, is what is PSTA's total ridership across all modes?
Oh, God.
You can say like annually. Or...
Yeah, and you can throw out a number.
But 20,000 weekly?
not close. It's 9.4 million annually and 28,659 average weekday, which I'm pretty impressed by. Yeah. I know I'm very impressed by that number.
I am too. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, when did the first bus, which by the way, was actually two Ford automobiles welded together to form one large six-wheeled vehicle. That was our first bus. When did it appear first in St. Petersburg? What year? You don't have to give us a day, you know, just years.
Oh no, I'm trying to think of an era. Because buses were before cars, I thought. No, trains were before cars. Got it. Okay.
1930s? No, 1919.
Okay.
I think that's a good guess, though, because you're thinking of, like, the streetcar era.
Yeah.
But it is actually pretty early for St. Pete, I think. 1919, yeah.
All right, next one. When did the Pinellas Suncoast Transit Authority, which we now know as PSTA, become the county public transit provider with a fleet of 128 buses serving 79 routes. What year?
I'm being perfectly honest, I'm like fighting cheating and trying to like Google this while we're talking. I don't know any of the answers. Okay, I'm going to say, I'm going to go with the 1960s.
It was 1984.
Okay. It should have been the 60s. That's what I was trying to say.
I know, right? Yeah.
You're absolutely right. When did the Williams Park Customer Service Center open?
These are some deep dives.
Yeah.
I bet you a lot of people don't even know that there is a Williams Park Customer Service Center.
However, they're all things I'm going to come well-versed on if I end up doing any of the walking tours. I'm going to know all of these facts. Okay. So... Williams Park one, let's say that was in the 1980s. It would have been after that. I'm going to say mid 80s to mid 90s.
I mean, that's a big range, but
yes. No, I'm taking a big range.
It is 1994.
So you were close.
Yeah. No, that was within my range. Right. It counts.
She cast a wide net. She got it.
Yeah, so. I know. I mean, a decade is always a good guess. Right? What year did PSTA carry its 100 millionth passenger?
I don't know. Okay, 2001. It was sounds like a good year.
It was in 1997.
Yes, see.
I know. Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting in range with a lot of these that I'm feeling better about myself than I could be.
right, I got a factoid for you before I ask the next question. So the PSCA set its historic annual ridership record in 2011. Big deal. How many riders did they service that year? It was record breaking.
I'm really wishing that I had paid closer attention to Sumitra saying how many annually.
That would have been
okay. I'm gonna go 2.5 million.
13.1 million.
I was gonna say 12.2 million. Just kidding. That would have been in range. That's awesome. That's incredible.
That is, yeah.
The Central Plaza Intermodal Terminal opened in 2002. True or false?
I mean, if you guys are doing trick questions where I say like true, but you're like, no, it was actually 2001, then I'm gonna say true.
You're correct. It is true.
Okay. Woo.
In 2003. The first streetcar line opened in St. Pete and ran from St. Petersburg to another town. What is the name of that town? Bonus points if you know the name of the town at the time.
I'm sorry, I have to correct you. It's 1903.
Is that, did I not say 1903?
I thought you said 2003.
You said 2003, and I was like, I lived here then, sorry. And I'm like almost positive.
Sorry, yeah, no, 100 years before that day that I said in 1903. Sorry, wow. The first streetcar line ran from St. Petersburg to another town. What was the name of that town?
I'm guessing that's not the name of the town anymore, which is difficult, but
if you give us the current name of the town, we'll count it as correct. You get 10 extra points if you get the old town.
I mean, my thought is that it went from St. Pete to either Pasadena or St. Pete Beach, just because they would have been like the place that you would have wanted to head to.
Your logic is on point.
Your logic is correct. But you're wrong.
Okay. Okay, yeah. That's the best I got.
So it was Distant City, which eventually changed its name to Gulfport.
Gotcha. I could see that. That would make sense.
Yeah. It's like right there.
What year was the Central Avenue trolley introduced?
For that, I'm going to go 1970s.
It was 2011.
Wow.
We were
going on the trolley or jolly trolley way before that. So that would have been, okay, so they just weren't
maybe. Yeah, maybe they were just called something else. Could be that too.
Gotcha. Okay.
I also swear I took some trolley down Central in like the early 2000s, but I don't know. That's not what the facts say. Roughly how many bus stops do we have now? I feel like you have a better shot.
No, I don't. Yeah. I'm gonna. Don't we have something like 115 routes? So wouldn't that be?
So I guess if you do math,
you're going on stops on all that. I'm just gonna say 1,000. I don't know.
4,395 bus stops, but get this: only 658 are sheltered. Only 658 bus shelters, which I feel like is a low proportion. Considering it's so hot, you know.
It's not only a low proportion, it's a big deal. Like, we walk to different bus stops if they have a shelter or not. Just standing there in the brutal heat and, like, just the So yeah, it's a low number and it's a big effect. We even go to certain ones because on Central, there's not a lot of, I don't know if there are any that I can think of sheltered stops for the cat. And we go to the ones that have the little benches on them. Cause even when you're waiting, I mean, things go off schedule. That's normal. It happens. But like, even when you're waiting and you're sitting there, just being able to kind of like sit down. And I don't know if anybody's ever seen those, but the pole with the two little benches on the side, like what a cool creative thought. I would rather a shelter, obviously, but what a creative way to like, you know, reuse the pole kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that was our lightning round. Good news, we were not keeping score, and so we have no idea how well you did. But
I can tell you it was zero. I mean, I'm not great at keeping score, but like now when I'm pretty confident none of them were answered correctly.
So Megan, tell us, what made you want to join Car Free St. Pete? What was the impetus for you to join Car Free St. Pete?
I wish there was one impetus because this would be a really simple answer in that regard. But there was a really long, I would say, build up to joining Car Free St. Pete. And it had been, and I would say the Nicole, who runs the committee, was a large portion of wanting to get involved, because at the time I was setting up at a bunch of different events that you can, you know, work to engage with the community and everything. And one time I got set up next to the Car Free St. Pete tent. They didn't have a committee yet. And I, of course, took notice of it because it was something I was highly passionate about personally. So I kind of watched how they operated, and I watched how Nicole operated, and I watched the energy that she brought to the cause. And I just thought to myself, like, thank you. Like, we need this so badly. I'm so excited to see somebody doing this. And there wasn't a way at that time to get involved. So we would just kind of end up at events together. And I can't even tell you the feeling inside when I saw just, I had known that a lot of people had felt the way of wanting to be more walkable, wanting to get out there. When I saw the momentum start to push towards becoming active and bringing it together, there was a feeling like, I would say hope as one of them, excitement. And so we ended up at different events together for a couple of years. So when they opened a committee, I jumped on it. I mean, I applied right at that moment and wanted to be a part of it. It was such a well run. I could just see already how organized, how well run, how engaging, how passionate, and I wanted to be a part of it. I felt all the feelings, and now there was somebody who was able to kind of bring that into action.
And you know, like, since you have been a part of the committee, like, you have done so much for the committee, and you know, you bring so many different and interesting insights to the committee. So what initiatives have you been a part of while you have been part of the committee?
So that part's really hard because they do all kind of pull together as well. So one of the efforts that I would say led from, personal work to being on the committee were the BRT meetings when we were going and speaking for PSTA. Working towards that. So what I've tried to do, is continue that. That was really all a part of, if anybody knows anything about the Complete Streets Plan, that was an effort that when they introduced it and I read the plan and I just thought, with aging parents myself, with a lack of desire, you know, the plan encompasses multimodal transport, different ways to get around your community, And it also, as one aspect, incorporates a bus. And that was something that we advocated for and worked on. But it was something that once it was adopted, I heard people with such a lack of understanding of what it actually was. They were harping on maybe one trigger point that somebody had given them. And if they would have looked at the plan, they would have seen this is what you want for your kids in the neighborhood. This is what you want for yourself to get to work. This is what you want if you want a decrease in traffic. And that was something that like my heart was screaming, like we are all on the same team, and people don't realize that. If you want a decrease in traffic, don't like say nobody rides buses, or don't think because it's not true, or don't fight against it. Tell your neighbor, hey, jump on the Sunrunner, or hey, ride your bike, like get them off the road. You can keep driving. Like if you want less traffic, let's all work on this. There's those of us that are willing to get out. So that's continued to be kind of my passion within it, is getting out the education on this is for people who are like, I'm willing to try. We're not trying to pull everybody out of their vehicle on the street, and we're not trying to do any of that. We're trying to give methods to get around to people that are willing to give it a try. And so what's come along with that is people are, you know, there is a tendency to say something's not working when something's a journey and a process. And then we all know 20 years later, when it's like implemented and everything's functional, they're like, oh, this is what we love about the city. And there's just kind of a natural progression you have to go through or push through. If you know in your heart, that is what people really want. And that is something that's going to work for everyone.
About the big picture.
The
big picture that you're saying.
Yes, the big picture. And I think one of our many journeys in this has learned that the big picture always boils down to money. And so where the journey kind of took me was taking the drive to want to educate people about the Complete Streets plan, the value in it to us all. And then it kind of brought me to learning, we can't do that, or we can't implement that because of money. We can't do that. It's not enough money. It's all great and approved on a plan. There's no money. So one of my efforts has been trying to work on figuring out the line of money, figuring out how budgets work, figuring out grant opportunities. And I think that's where I've kind of funneled into as my passion and interest. I'm one of the random few that loves paperwork. You know, people love fun and flashy and events. And I'm like, put me in my house with some paperwork and let me apply for some grants. And so that's
not something I enjoy doing. Do not like paperwork or bureaucracy.
There you go. So exactly. I think that's where I found my little niche in the group.
Well, I'm glad you're on the committee. definitely am glad. So now I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you ride the PSTA?
Oh, all the time.
You do? Okay.
We actually tailored our life around it. If you want to know how kind of extreme I got at a little point. I was so, to bring you back to, I don't know if a lot of people know about Pinellas Green Light, but it was a very interactive, all-encompassing plan for Pinellas County that tied together, you know, buses and trains and all of it. And at the time, I was a working full-time single mom, totally strapped, and I saw it and I was so excited, and I thought, we're here. I've been like praying for this since 2004. In 2004 was when I moved here, and I feel so much hope right now, so much excitement. And then it didn't pass. And I felt so defeated inside of like, I did nothing. I didn't even post one time. And I'm not saying one person would have made a difference in that regard, or that me doing something would have changed anything. But the fact that I didn't even try, the fact that I was so consumed knowing that I wanted that, but couldn't put forth 2 minutes for it, to me was just so when I got involved with Complete Streets and going to those meetings and watching that get adopted, which brought me into working to advocate for the BRT coming to St. Pete. My business partner and I had bought a house in 2014, just a really rundown rental, you know, along First Avenue North. Needed a ton of work. We just kind of rented it out. Didn't think too much about it. And then we had, we just decided we think the BRT is going to move forward. Obviously, things can always happen. But the Central App trolley is currently running. So we actually made a decision for our family to move from Euclid. We asked my business partner if we could buy the house off of him. It needed a lot of work anyway. So it was a win-win for us. He was very happy to get the equity from it. We were very happy to be here. And then we didn't realize how much we would use it because at the time I thought we're four blocks away from St. Pete High. The girls all walk there. Turns out they didn't want to go to St. Pete High. They both wanted to apply to two different St. Pete collegiates. And if I'm looking at as a parent, that would be so much driving because they weren't driving age yet. So one of them every single morning, every afternoon takes the BRT to the SBC Gibbs campus. Every morning, the other one takes the Sunrunner to the downtown collegiate campus. Where we're on it, in the same right, we went from two cars to one, making the choice to move here. So depending on who needs the car that day, because it's really hard to get to our youngest daughter's school and sports and everything, there is a reality when you have kids, you know, going to sports in Pinellas Park and just all over the place in short time periods. So whichever one of us doesn't have driving Cozy to school that day, we use the Sunrunner to get where we're going. So we did use the Central App trolley until the Sunrunner opened, and now it's just, you know, become a lot more efficient line. So daily, we all use it daily.
Is it safe to say that Sunrunner is your favorite BSDA line right now?
Definitely, because there's components. It's like when they put in a bike lane and people are like, nobody uses that bike lane. Well, it's on Ulmerton with zero protection.
Oh, God. That if Ulmerton you do that, bike so
lane. That's the same thing with buses. I'm a human like everybody else that has to be place.
Yeah.
It is the most efficient. But if they all ran like this, you would see so many people. I mean, it would be the way of our city. It's just, you've got to be reliable. You've got to be able to be where you need to go in an efficient time period. I can't play games. I have too many places to be at once. So Sunrunner for me has been reliable for the girls for school, reliable, efficient. Yeah. So yes, the answer is yes.
Do you use like a, is there like an app that you use to help manage your trips on the PSTA? Do you just
We do all use the transit app. We found it to be for the most part really accurate if it has to, you know, because there's natural kinks to work out. Anybody that thinks something's going to be implemented and be perfect that day and use that as a way to criticize it, like, let's go back to when cars first came out. Like, we could tell some stories about the realities that were happening there with horses, cars, people, everything. There's no perfect system when it gets implemented. So
which app do you like to use?
I have found that the transit app is the most accurate. What I'm concerned about a little bit is I don't wear any PSTA or typically car free gear. I'm in normal clothes, but yet people are always sparking up conversations with me about the bus, like while I'm at the stations, which I value actually. And one woman was telling me that she tried using the Flamingo app, but she wasn't sure how to read the timing on it. I honestly haven't really gone on yet because they haven't started charging for fares. So I don't know which one is better. I tried one. I thought I tried one other one. No, maybe that was it. I don't know. I found personally transit has worked for me. It's been pretty accurate. I know the timing getting there. So for me, that's what I've been using.
And the transit app kind of, you know, changes locale. So like you can be in another city and it will show you like what transit options you have around you, which is what I really value about that app as well.
Yeah. Are there other ones that you guys would think were worth trying instead or?
Well, I know that Google does very well with like the PSTA bus tracking because PSTA did work with Google to kind of put that on there, but I haven't really used it for anything apart from Sunrunner. So I'm not sure how it works for other buses.
I use Google and it's pretty accurate. So it'll tell you if the bus is running late or if the bus is running early, which is nice. But I'm going to check out this transit app that you mentioned. I haven't tried that one yet.
When you get on the bus, do you have like a etiquette that you stick to? Like, do you greet your driver? Do you?
Are you the type of person that like says hello and goodbye, or are you the person that just quietly goes on in the back of the bus?
No, I'm well. Okay. To be fair,
no judgment. This is a judgment-free zone.
I'm very vocal, but I should also say that a lot of it is because I'm trying to model for my children. I'm typically, I always say hi and thank you if I'm alone, but when I'm with them, I do want to model etiquette. So I am very big on not only us saying hi as we get on, but then even if we're in the back and it's a loud bus, even if they can't hear me, I don't know. I always yell thank you as I'm, you know, hopping off the bus. So that is very big with us. I work with that with a 6-year-old and everything, just making sure. Because we do value them and they have long days and a lot going on. And I am thankful that they picked me up.
I do as well.
Yeah, I do too. I try to. I mean, there have been times where I haven't, you know, but I tried to always say at least thank you and goodbye, you know, not always when I get on, but usually when I'm leaving, I'm like, thanks, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to, I couldn't do that job. Just like driving a bus. That sounds really difficult, like exhausting. have you noticed any changes to your neighborhood since the Sunrunner was implemented?
I don't know specifically observations about my neighborhood. What I've noticed is people's attitudes changing because, you know, my friends and family and community and, you knows how I feel and that I was, you know, advocating for public transit. At first, I'm going to use my cousin as an example. He liked to give me a little grief about it. Who's going to ride that? Who's going to do whatever? Well, so quickly, these conversations turn into photos of them selfieing like us and all of this. And like, but that's what I love about humans, that, you know, I wanted to speak for the neighborhood back when the BRT was being approved. And the irony is this one person was like, you will not, like, everybody was like, all for it. Like, this is great. Let's do this. All for it. I said, okay, great. I would love, because, you know, you have to have a consensus and you all have to be on the same page. Like if you're, you know, in the neighborhood association. So everybody's on the same page, except the one person who was like, never, nobody, you know, nobody's going to use the bus, whatever. She became literally like the poster child for the project. Like, I don't want to use names because she's circulating. Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
She's circulating with all of it. And I think that's great. Like, I don't think anything against that. She became like one of the biggest advocates for the project. And watching stuff like watching that tide change, that's what's fulfilling to me. I don't care. I don't think any of us ever need to hear like, okay, maybe there was something to this. I don't think we need that. When we see it being used and when we see people like, you know, just, I know people that have moved to the area to be along it We moved to the area to be, you know, to be closer to it. It's just like when you see these kind of things, that to me has been the biggest change. Watching as people's mind shift happens, just as something that they thought would be a waste would be, you know, the sky is going to fall because one tiny portion of one road and all of the main arterial roads in St. Pete, everything's going to fail because a part of it is going to be given to a bus. And then you just kind of see how quickly we adapt and how, you know, quickly we use a service and how quickly we are just like, this is actually something that makes our city even greater. Like, we have a great city. It's like even greater that we have this thing to offer. And, you know, my husband's British, my in-laws all come from England when they visit. I love they, and they're very well versed in transit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This to them is very part of their, and just the, you know, when we first moved to this property and the first time they came to visit, my husband went to do his normal, like, I'm going to go take them to get groceries. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to take them on the Sunrunner because the stop is right next to our house. You're going to take them on the Sunrunner to get, and then they're going to see, like, okay, I see their system right across the street. Let's use that. And his dad loved it. They were everywhere from the beach to, you know, that. And then when they went out to the beach, they discovered the Jolly Trolley and they just, you know, absorbed the entire system. And so we would have been driving them around for 2 weeks straight. They were totally independent. They absolutely loved it. And it's just one of those things. It's just one of those kind of evolutions as well.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Megan, do you have like a favorite PSTA story?
A favorite PSTA story?
Yeah.
Some endearing, heartwarming story.
I mean, the one that you just
endearing, heartwarming story. I have so many favorite stories just because I'm a people watcher in general. I love observing. I love being at a stop and watching, you know, like an adorable, like 85-year-old lady with her groceries, you know, striking up a conversation with a teenager and watching them engage. And she's like, well, I remember when this building was. And I've just seen so many positive like interactions in that way. Got a favorite story.
I mean, that sounded like a good story.
There's just been so much. I would say my favorite story was the day that it was delayed. And there's two, I would say, college age kids. And one of them is just like, if you could tell us one thing, God, what was his question? He started questioning me like on the meaning of life. If you could tell me what you feel like is the most important like journey you've ever been on, I'm just sitting here like, this is great. I like, they just started randomly asking me like advice for life and meaning for life. And I was just like, let's do this. We're hanging out here for an additional like 12 minutes. Like, why not talk about the meaning of life?
Well, that's what community is, right? So that's to me, a huge positive of having like a transportation system, especially in a town like St. Pete, where people are pretty friendly and engaging and warm. You get to see that community like thrive.
Yeah. And you know, like we are all having like the same experience when you're at a bus stop or at a train station. We are all kind of there for that same reason. And then, you know, there is a shared bonding about like doing this one thing together, even though like we may have different purposes of like them going somewhere else from this bus or the train. So like, I love like when you bond on like at a train station or at a bus stop. I want to tell our listeners that PSTA is passionate about telling individual stories like Megan's and highlighting the diverse voices of their riders and community members. By filling out their survey at psta.net/my story, that is psta.net/mystory, you will be entered for a chance to win a set of free Apple AirPods Pro. So go ahead and like fill out that form and tell PSTA your favorite PSTA story.
Yeah, I want to hear them. It's been wonderful having you on.
Even though, so one last thing is, because one thing I do think I should say from the story is that because we were hearing that nobody rides the bus and stuff like that, and you know, my kids were getting a little slack in middle school, which I don't think is abnormal for middle school. We did start an Instagram page with my youngest called Cozy Rides the Bus. And so she's at Cozy Rides the Bus, and she ended up doing a promo commercial for the race based on it. So we kind of just wanted to show everybody like people actually do ride the bus. So she absolutely loves it. It's one of those things that's more so like, I want to ride the bus because we have a destination. We've got somewhere to go to. She wants to ride the bus because she looks out our window and waves almost every time it passes, like every 15 minutes. And you know, she wants to go on the bus just to ride the bus. And so sometimes we go just to ride the bus. And she'll, you know, ask all the time, and she loves engaging with people on it and everything. So we did find a way to kind of work our family in to show, if you do not believe people ride this bus, we can show you and we can tell you, like, this is typically a jam-packed bus that we're trying not to get people in the photos for, you know, just privacy purposes, but we are absolutely on it. People are absolutely on it. I don't know. We love it. And that was kind of our way. That was kind of our way of trying to encourage people's understanding visually that this is a very real thing.
It's very cute. I'm looking at it now. It's a very cute.
Yeah, whenever I have ridden a bus, it has always been packed. Like, I've never been on a bus that was like completely empty. So it's always heartwarming to see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. Well, thank you, Megan. This has been great. It's been great chatting with you about the PSTA and learning all about the PSTA through our lightning round.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me. This was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks, Megan.